Okay, we're on page 688. We are at the end of Pasuk Mem. Okay, last time we discussed at great length the four minim, sukkis, what's called makifim, panimi, the encompassing level, the internal level, talus, tfilin. First you have talus, the makif, and then you bring the makif into the panimi. We discussed all about the arba minim, the various different things that it represents. But the end of Pasuk Mem, after the Torah says, Okachtam Cham B'yem Arishin, you know, and so on, so it says at the end, Usmachtam Lefnei Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yomim. You should rejoice before Hashem for 7 days. This we didn't get up to yet. So the Mefarshim ask, why is this in this Pasuk? I mean, it speaks about Lulav and Esrog. Why does it have to say at the end, Usmachtam Lefnei Hashem? I mean, that's not... That makes more sense to go to Pasuk Mem Aleph. Pasuk Mem Aleph says, you have a chag, so over there it should say, Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yomim. Why? It speaks about Lulav only by Yom Harishon, because we learned biblically, you know, only in the Beis HaMikdash they added 7 days. But biblically, outside the Beis HaMikdash, Lulav was only 1 day. So, like in the same Pasuk, it says you should have Simcha 7 days. It's like mixing the two together. So it's very interesting, Klayaka over here, and he says like this, true simcha can only be when there's unity. Lulav and Esrog represent achtus, you know, you tie it together, it's all one. And he says, the only time the Torah is emphasizing through the unity of all types of Jews, the Esrog Jew that has a taste and a smell, all the way down to the Arava Jew that has no mitzvahs, no Torah, only when you put them together and unite, that's when it could be the true simcha. True simcha can only be when there's unity. And therefore, if there's no unity, there can't be really the level of simcha. Because like we learned, shalom and shleimus, peace and shleimus, completion, is all really the same thing. Okay, then the Torah says, Pasuk Mem Aleph like this, V'chagayisim eisir chalgo Hashem, you should celebrate this as a Yom Tif. Shivas Yomim Bashana, 7 days in the year. Chukas Elam L'Dorei Seichem. This is for all generations, meaning even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, even if there's no Korbanis, whatever it is, but this is L'Dorei Seichem for all 7 days. B'Chedesh HaShvi T'Chego Eisei. You should celebrate it for the 7 days. Okay, in the 7th month. And in fact, there is a there is one thing over here that I saw. Okay, we'll see soon. Basuka station Shivas Yamim, you should sit in the sukkah for 7 days. All the citizens in Israel should live in the sukkahs. So the Mefarshim say, the Kleyokis says also, why does it use the expression, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael? Ezrach means a toshav, a person that lives there. I mean, Kol b'nei Yisrael, yeshiv b'sukkahs. I mean, it's not a very common expression, ha'ezrach, to have this. So he says like this, because normally, he says, Sukkot is the time when you gather everything into the house. You gather all the grain into the house. So by nature, people love to be home at that time. You bring all the wealth into your house, and people want to sit home and enjoy it. So if you hear the Torah says, that's when you have to go out. Because this shows, like it says, why is Sukkot, like we learned, why is Sukkot in Tishrei, not in Nisan? If Hashem took us out of Egypt and put us into Sukkot, we should celebrate Sukkot during the month of Nisan. But over there it gets warm, everybody goes to a Sukkah. So you don't see that Jews are doing it for a mitzvah. Tishrei, it starts getting cold. People come home from the summer homes, from the huts. So that's when Hashem says the mitzvah is to go out. So the same thing over here, Hashem says, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, that even people that live in Eretz Yisrael, so normally they would be going into the houses, they would be going home. So over here the Torah says, Teishvu Basukas. From the fact that the Torah says, Basukas Teishvu Shivas Yomim, From here, the Gemara learns out the famous halacha. It has to be teishvul ke'ein taduru. You have to sit like you live. That means, like the Gemara says, the sukkah has to be your permanent home during the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Because it says teishvul from the word yeshiva, living, you have to live in the sukkah. So therefore in halacha you need to eat in the sukkah and sleep in the sukkah and do business in the sukkah. Whatever you could do, you should do in the sukkah. Because it says teishvul ke'ein taduru, you should live to sit in the sukkah like you would live in the house. Leperel Chabad custom is dafka not to sleep in the sukkah. That's based on Kabbalah, because how can you sleep in what's called makifim debina? It's too high of a level to sleep in such a holy thing. So Arminig is not to, but otherwise a person has to technically live in the sukkah for 7 days as much as possible. L'manyedu dereser, and this is a very interesting pasuk. Why do you have to sit in the sukkah? L'manyedu dereser, that all generations should know, ki basukkah yiseishavti es b'nei Yisrael, that I put the Jews in a sukkah, b'yitziyei eisam me'eretz Mitzrayim, when I took them out of Mitzrayim, ani Hashem alekeichem, I am God, your God. Now, it says over here like this, you should know that basukkah yiseishavti es b'nei Yisrael. Now, what does this basukkah mean? Hashem put the Jews into sukkahs. So in the Gemara, there's two opinions. One opinion says it means literally sukkahs. The Jews left Egypt. They built temporary huts to protect themselves. Another opinion in the Gemara says it refers to the clouds, to the Anani HaKovid, the clouds of glory that accompanied the Jews in the Midbar. This is the opinion that says the sukkahs refers to the Anani HaKovid. And both are right. I mean, Hashem put them in Anani HaKovid, Hashem put them into sukkahs. But this is the reason why we sit in the sukkah. Now over here, the Torah says an interesting thing. And from here, many poskim learn an interesting halacha. Normally, when you do a mitzvah, you don't necessarily need a particular kavana. You need a general intent that Hashem commanded us to do a mitzvah. But you don't need to know necessarily particular details of the intent of why Hashem commanded us the mitzvah. Here the Torah says, L'manyedu dereisechem. And therefore, according to many opinions, when you sit in the sukkah, part of the condition of sitting in the sukkah, the Torah says, L'manyedu, that you need to understand. You should know why are you sitting in the sukkah. In other words, part of the essential mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah is to understand that Hashem put us in the sukkahs when He took us out of Mitzrayim. And that actually becomes part of the actual knowing and part of the mitzvah. The miracle that Hashem did, that He put us in sukkahs when He took us out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then the Torah concludes this part, Vayidaber Moshe Esmeya De Hashem Ol Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem all the mitzvahs and the Yom Tovim that Hashem took, that Hashem did to the Jewish people. Let's see with this.
What does it say, only for people in Israel?
No, it doesn't say in Israel.
Where's Mem Beis?
So you sleep there.
Kol Ezer be Yisrael. Yisrael does not mean the land. Ezer be Yisrael means Jews.
Okay.
Every native of Yisrael does not mean Eretz Yisrael, because in the Midbar they also had the mitzvah sukkah. In fact, the fact that the Torah says Chukas Olam Dereseichem, the pasuk from Aleph, it shows us for all generations, whether the Jews are or are not in Israel, it doesn't matter. They still have the mitzvah of being there, of being in a sukkah. There's nothing to do with the particular land or not land.
Okay.
They celebrate sukkahs in the Midbar?
In the Midbar, they celebrated sukkah, sure.
So they didn't wait until the Arabian?
No. Only when the Torah says, certain mitzvahs, the Torah uses the expression, ki savo el ha'aretz. When you come to the land, then, you know, do that. If the Torah doesn't say it, they kept the mitzvah, all the mitzvahs in the Midbar. Like the mitzvah of challah, separating, you know, So it says over there, ki savayu ala oritz. Or the mitzvah bikurim. You know, the first fruits. The Torah said, v'hayu ki savayu ala oritz. If the Torah didn't say ki savayu ala oritz, they had to keep the mitzvahs. In fact, you mentioned there was a very interesting way the Jews put on tefillin in the midbar. The Jews had to put on, the Jews were commanded to put on tefillin in Parshas Bo. Before they left Egypt. Over there the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of tefillin. Yeah? And in fact, in the tefillin, you know, the head tefillin has four boxes, yeah? Each box has one parsha. Okay, what are the parshias? Shema and Vahoyim Shemaya. Kaddish Li Kol Bechor, Vahoyah Kiviyacha. Two are in Parshas Bo, two are in Chumash Devarim. Okay? Even the hand tefillin, which is one box, it's all four parshias written on one long piece of parchment. Okay? So the Rishonim discuss Parshas Shema and Vahoyim Shemaya was said in Chumash Devarim. That was in the 40th year of the Midbar. Right? Right before Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, he said Chumash Devarim. So when did they get Shema and Vahoyim Shema? In the 40th year. They were commanded tefillin before they left Egypt. So what did they have in the tefillin for those 40 years? So many Rishonim write, interestingly, they had four boxes, but only two were full. Kaddish Li Kol Bechor and Vahoya Kiviyacha from Parshas Bo. They didn't have Shema Vahoya in the tefillin because they didn't have it yet.
So it's not complete.
Yeah, but that's all they had. So that's all they were able to have. That's what they did. But they couldn't have more. So that's the way they did the mitzvah. There's a medrash. There's a medrash that said even about Sukkis. Says in the medrash that when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ukachtam lachem pri etzador," it says in the medrash. One opinion says Hashem took Moshe Rabbeinu al kanfei nesharim. An eagle took Moshe Rabbeinu to what's called Italia shel Yavon, which is Italy, not Greece, Italia shel Yavon, and he found an esrog from there. It's one of the reasons we don't, you know, Chabad uses the Italian, the Yanavir Esregin, is based on that medrash that Hashem took Moshe Rabbeinu and took him over there to get an esrog. There's a lot, you know, all these strange things. But in the terms of, they did the mitzvahs in the midbar. The question is, certain mitzvahs, they did certain ways, other ways, you know.
Where did they get 600,000
esrogim
in midbar?
No, they benched the Meshur Abenus. I don't know if they got 600,000 esrogim. They benched on Meshur Abenus. I don't know,
but we learned that. And Israel didn't do the
grace
also.
Yeah, so certain things they didn't behave. Certain things they did behave. You're right.
Yeah.
It says they didn't do a bris in the midbar. Yeah. A lot of things they didn't do. They worshipped an eagle in the midbar too. But certain mitzvahs they kept. The convenient mitzvahs they kept. The hard ones they didn't. Like it says also, the Mefarshim say, they had the clouds, you know, when the Jews went, they had the clouds on top of them on all six sides, yeah? How did they do Kiddush Levon in the Midbar?
The
how did they do Kiddush? The clouds blocked, enclosed them completely.
Night also, they closed only day.
No, at night also. So said Moshe Rabbeinu went like this with the handkerchief and the clouds opened, they did Kiddush Levon and they reclosed. That's what it says. Okay, Bar Perek Chav Dalet.
Green glass.
Yeah. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe. It's going off from the Chagim, and we'll soon see why the Torah mentions these things. The Torah is now going into two mitzvahs also about the Mishkan. And the commentators ask, well, how does it get here? One is now about kindling the menorah, and one is about putting the lechem upon him, the showbread, on the shulchan every week that they did. So something like that. V'yidav Hashem Amei Shalemei. Tzav is B'nei Yisrael. Speak to the Yidden. V'yikhu Elecha Shem and Zayizach, this is what we just read in this last Shabbos Kriya of Atat Tetzaviz B'nai Yisrael. They should take for you, to you, Shem and Zayizach, clear, pure, what's called in America today, virgin olive oil, Kosis Lamor, pressed for lighting, Lahali Sner Tomid, to kindle a continual lamp. Now there's a lot to talk on this pasuk. A lot of it we discussed in Parshas Tetzaveh, which is a very similar pasuk to this. Bat Tetzaveh b'nei Yisov, Yichu Elecho Shem and Zayizach Kosis Lamor, Lahali Sner Tomid. Exactly the same wording of as over here. But there's a number of basic questions that need to be understood in the sole commandment of the Menorah. Number one, Rashi explains over here, Rashi says over here, that this Parsha is telling us the mitzvah of kindling the Menorah. What was in Parshas Tetzaveh, that we just read Shabbos? So he says, that was in the order of constructing the Mishkan. The Torah speaks about the kindling of the Menorah, but not as the commandment to kindle the Menorah. Here, the Torah is commanding the Jews to kindle the Menorah. So Rashi learns in Tetzaveh is just a story that there is a construction of the Menorah and lighting the Menorah, but here is the actual Tetzaveh B'nai Yisrael. Here there's a mitzvah to command the B'nai Yisrael. Okay, now, Rashi says also that there's three types of oil. Okay, because the oil in the Mishkan, in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, they used it for different things. They used it for kindling the Menorah, and then there was shemen for the flour offerings. They had to mix flour into the flour oil into the flour offerings. So it says like this: the first olives, Rashi says, shleisha shemanim. Rashi says there is three types of oil. But as far as what's going on over here is the first few drops that came out of the olive, that's called Shemen Zayizach. That's the clear oil. That was good for the Menorah. The other oil, the later oil, that was good for the flour offerings and for the other things that they needed in the Mishkan. But Shemen Zayizach, when the Torah says Shemen Zayizach, it means the first few drops of oil that came out, that is, you know, because it had no junk in it, no sediment, it was the pure oil. There's a whole issue over here. Kosis lamor literally means pressed for lighting, meaning for kindling the menorah. But if you know, in Hebrew, ma'ar, it should say really kosis la'ar. Ma'ar is the source of light. In Hebrew, ma'ar is the source of light. It should have said kosis la'ar. Okay? Another question is, another very simple question, who lit the menorah? Aaron HaKohen lit the menorah, like it says in the next pasuk, yeah? So why did they have to bring the oil to Moshe? Why are they bringing the oil to Moshe if Aaron kindled it? It should say, bring to Aaron the oil. What does Moshe need the oil for?
He was in charge.
Aaron was in charge.
The first 7 days?
No, but this is speaking of Bichlal. Mm. The whole time, not only the 7 days. And that, huh? No, we'll discuss. Third, and also, by the way, just that chag of Kosis, the Mefarshim say, Kosis is spelled Chof Tov Yutov. That refers to how many years the two temples stood. The first temple stood 410, second temple stood 420. Chof Tov and Yutov is 420 and 410. So the word Kosis itself shows how long did the Menorah burn for? 410 years in the first Beis Hamikdash, 420 years in the second Beis Hamikdash. But that's parenthetically. And also, let's see that. Let's learn the next passage because there's more difficulties to understand. Then it says like this: where was the Menorah lit? Michutz la parecha so edus, after the curtain of the testimony. Now, the Aron, the Ark, was called Luchos HaEdus. Their testimony that Hashem rested amongst the Jewish people. That was in the Holy of Holies. Then there was a curtain separating the Holy of Holies and the Holy. So the Torah said, where do you kindle the menorah? Outside the curtain that separated. Yarech Eisei Aaron. Aaron should arrange it. Me'erev ad boker lefnei Hashem, from evening till morning before Hashem. Tomid, constantly. Chukas Eilam L'Dereisechem. There's an eternal decree for all generations. Now over here, obviously, if there's no temple, you can't do it. So the Gemara says, how can say L'Dereisechem? So the answer, this is where Chanukah comes into the picture. Because it says, Halneiris halalu einam betelem la'elam. Says like this, at the end of Parshas Nosei, when all the Nasiim brought their animals to dedicate the Mishkan, so it says, Levi had nothing to bring. All the 12 tribes brought, but Levi didn't bring. So it says, Aaron felt bad. Aaron was like the head of Shevet Levi. He felt bad. So Hashem said to him, don't worry. Right after that, it says, you kindle the menorah. And Hashem says to him that this is even greater than the korbanos. Why? Because aneiros halalu einam betelem la'olam. These candles will never stop. So the mefarshim, so sacrifice is stopped. No beis hamikdash, the sacrifice is stopped, but the menorah will continue. So the medrash asks, but the menorah also stopped. No beis hamikdash, no menorah. So the Medrash answers, it refers to Chanukah. Because even though there's no temple, but Haneiros Halalu, these candles, will never stop. And that's why even though it says here, L'Derei Seichem, even though we said before, L'Derei Seichem means even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. So why does it say over here, L'Derei Seichem? Because it includes the Chanukah Menorah. Okay, that's number one. But the Mefarshim ask a very interesting question. In Hebrew, tamid means constant. Constant. What does constant mean? 24/7. Yet, the pasuk right away says, me'erev ad boker. From night until morning. So if it's night only at night, not during the day, how could it be tamid? How could it be constant if it was only at night? So one answer the Mefarshim give from the Gemara, that if it's every night, Tamid means continuous every night. But not Tamid 24/7. It means every night is also called Tamid. Just like they had the carbon Tamid in the morning, carbon Tamid in the afternoon, even though it's Tamid. But it means every day it was done. So the same thing, the Menorah was done every day, it didn't necessarily mean constant. Okay? Even though it says in the Gemara and the Medrash like this. When the Jews were good, when the Jews behaved, until the time of Shimon HaTzadik, who was one of the earlier, in Pirkei Avos, Shimon HaTzadik, he was from the earlier Kohanim Gedolim in the second Beit HaMikdash. As long as he was alive, a miracle happened. Even though they put in the seven candles the same amount of oil every night, each candle had the same exact amount of oil, the Ner Maravi, which is a machlekes, what that means, burnt the whole day. It burnt the whole day. All the other candles went out in the morning, they only burnt at night. The Ner Maravi burnt until the next day. To the extent, it says, that when Aaron had to clean out the holders, yeah, to put the new oil in, new wicks in, because every day they use new wicks, they had to do it, the candle was still burning, not the candle, the candle, okay, we'll call it the candle, was still burning, he took out the wick of that candle, he cleaned it, put in the new oil in the, and he lit the candle again. But the candle never went out. The Ner Maravi miraculously never went out.
It's one of them.
The one. Most people say it's the middle one. Some people say it's the western one. There's a whole argument in the Gemara about which one is the Ner Maravi. The bottom line of it, so it says, Tamid refers to the Ner Maravi. Because that Taka burnt 24/7. It says, though, after Shimon HaTzadik, the miracle stopped, and because the Jews weren't behaving, and then all the candles went out in the morning, even the Ner Maravi. And every day they had to rekindle all seven of them. Said they relit it from the Mizbeach, took a fire from the Mizbeach to light the menorah. So this is, but according to their original opinion, the Ner Maravi burned Tamid, it always burnt. Continuously burnt. So Tamid refers to that one candle, the Medrash says. Okay, but now to discuss this whole thing over here. Aaron kindled the menorah, okay? Now, halachically, it did not have to be Aaron a Kohen. Any Kohen could light the menorah. The truth is, it says in halach even more. The Gemara says, hadlaka ksheira bizar. Even a Yisro was allowed to light the menorah. The preparation of the wicks, the preparation of the candle, that only a Kohen had to do. The actual lighting, the Gemara says, hadlaka ksheira bizar. A Yisro was allowed to do it also. It didn't have to be a Kohen. Why over here did the Torah say Aaron? It says, and the Sefurna says a very interesting concept over here, that just like Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to light the menorah in the desert, because they had the clouds, it was like Yom Kippur, and in the Midbar only Aaron lit the menorah. Because it was like Yom Kippur. But otherwise, a Kohen could do it, and for that matter, a Yisrael could do it. But we need to understand all these concepts. Why Yivyichu Elecha? Why did it have to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why did he need it? Why does it have to be Kosis Lamor? Kosis means pressed. Of course, everybody knows. How do you get oil out of an olive? Everybody knows. You press it. I mean, you don't need, he's not a great scholar to know that you want juice, you have to squeeze the fruit. Everybody, the Torah seems to emphasize causes. The Torah is saying Lamor, which is the source of light. Okay? So you have to understand what all this means. So, let's forget about the simple physical Beis HaMikdash. Let's discuss this in the personal Beis HaMikdash of every Jew. Okay? The menorah had seven candles. Okay? Why were there seven candles in the menorah? So we learned then in Parshas Tetzaveh a while ago that this represents the seven different types of Jews. The seven midot, seven emotional attributes. There's Jews that serve Hashem out of love. There's Jews that serve Hashem out of fear. There's Jews that serve Hashem out of beauty. There's seven different ways of serving Hashem. In fact, it says, what was in Parshas Baloischa, it says, Kain Asa, at the end, when it says, at the beginning of Parshat Valoischa, the Torah uses the expression here. Kamara Sheherer Hashem Esmeisha, Kain Asa Samineda. Okay? And also it says before that, Vayaz Kain Aaron, listen to this. What did Aaron do? He kindled the Meneda. So Rashi over there says, Vayaz Kain Aaron, from he brings down from the Medrash, Lahagit Shvoche Shal Aaron Shaloishina. Hey, listen to this. It tells us the greatness of Aaron, that he did it the right way. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't change. Yeah? That he lit the menorah the proper way. So now the question is like this. Every woman lights Shabbos candles every Friday. It's not very difficult to light a menorah. Strike a match, Okay? Or he had the fire, he took one and lit seven candles. I mean, you know, every yokel could do it. You know how many people light Hanukkah candles? And they do it the right, it's not a big deal to light a candle. What? Let me tell you something. If you would light the same seven candles every night, okay, for years, it's not a very difficult thing to light seven candles. One, two, three, four, five. You know, it's not a big deal. Okay? And it tells us, Vayas Kein Aaron, the Torah says, you know, Aaron was so great, he lit the menorah the way he was supposed to. I mean, what's so hard about that?
No.
It's not hard.
Joy.
Huh?
With joy.
It doesn't say that he did it with simcha. It says, Lagit Shvacha Shal Aaron Shalai Shina. Okay. So let me tell you what it's all about. What's going on over here is like this. Ner Hashem Nishma Sodom. The candle of Hashem is the neshama of a Jew. Every Jew is a candle. Neshama. Every Jew has the oil and the wick. It's all ready. But some Jews are lit, and some Jews, meanwhile, are not lit. Yet. What did Aaron HaKohen do? In his avodah of kindling the menorah, what he did was, he ignited and illuminated the neshama of every single Jew. And that's what Aaron's greatness was. You can relate to some people, some of the time. To relate to all the people, all the time, is something which is very difficult to do. We're not talking here about the physical lighting a match and kindling the menorah, so to speak. Here, Aaron is doing an avodah of kindling the neshama of every single possible type of a Jew. And Aaron understood what he was doing. When we light a match, we do the physical lighting. Aaron was doing Kabbalistic, holy, you know, super great stuff of kindling the menorah of every single Jew. What is the objective of kindling this menorah? The kindling of the menorah is lahalis ner tomid, that the neshama of the Jew should be lit, ignited, illuminated, on a regular basis, constantly. But there are different times in life. There's times that's called Erev, and there's times in life that are called Baker. Erev represents darkness, night, when people have problems. It's golus, difficulties, you know. Not, life is not easy. That's called Erev. And then you have Baker. Baker refers to things when they're illuminated, they're light, and so on and so forth. Certain Jews, believe it or not, when they were oppressed for being Jews, like whether it was under Stalin, or under Hitler, or under Haman, or, you know, there are many times when people were oppressed for being Jews, they remained very loyal. But the same Jews came out to a free country where there was no oppression. You don't see the same level of self-sacrifice in them than they had when they were oppressed. So there are Jews that have Mesiras Nefesh under certain conditions, the Neshama is lit. And under certain conditions, the neshama is not that lit. Okay? The fact that sometimes the neshama is lit, and sometimes the neshama is not lit, that shows that it's conditional mesiras nefesh. It's conditional self-sacrifice. Because if self-sacrifice permeated the entire being of the person through and through. It wouldn't matter when it's evening. It wouldn't matter when it's morning. It wouldn't matter anything. The person would be full-fledged, full steam ahead under any circumstance. I'm not blaming anybody, by the way. I mean, no, we shouldn't be tested. But there are certain people that are illuminated in Erev. There are certain people, when they're under pressure, they don't illuminate the neshama. When they have freedom, they do, and there's other Jews in. So the pasuk says like this. You need to kindle the menorah of the Jew. Tomid. It has to be constantly lit. Whether it's an Erev circumstance, whether it has to be a Boker circumstance, meaning good times and bad times, which includes every type of good and bad that can possibly be, the job of Aaron HaKohen is to illuminate and kindle the menorah of every single Jew. But sometimes, and this is relevant to Purim that we just celebrated yesterday, we know that Chazal tell us on the pasuk Kimel v'Kiblo Yehudim that the Jews accepted the Torah in the days of Haman, in the days of, you know, Mordechai and Esther, after the miracle. It says Kimel Mashikiblu Kvar. The Jews accepted willingly what they already accepted earlier. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, the Gemara Shabbos says that by Matan Torah, Kaf aleim har kigigis. Shem held the mountain over the head and said to the Jews, either or, do or die. Either accept the Torah, or if not, take for aschem. Shem said, you're all going to die. I'm going to dump the mountain on your head. You're all going to die. So the Gemara says, Mikan meidor rabba le'omarova. Mikan meidor rabba le'raisa. He says, this is a good excuse not to have to keep Torah. We were forced, coerced, no choice. So we have a good excuse to get out of it. So the Gemara says, no. Hode kiblu bimei Achashverosh. In the days of Achashverosh, the Megillah says, kimu v'kiblu Yehudim, they started keeping willingly, kimu, they started keeping willingly what they accepted in the time of Matan Torah. Okay? So basically, what is the Gemara saying? Matan Torah began the acceptance of the Torah. When did they really get the Torah? Purim. Purim. Kimu Mashikub. Then they willingly accepted the Torah.
When did the hardship this reason?
One second. So the question is, it doesn't make sense. In the time of Matan Torah, the Jews were on the highest of levels. They came out of Mitzrayim, they had Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem revealed himself and said, Aneich Hashem Alekecha. Yeah? What happened in the days of Purim? The Jews were on the lowest of the low. To such an extent, there was a decree from heaven to kill them all. And Haman's decree is a decree in heaven to destroy all the Jews. So it doesn't make sense. When the Jews were on a very high level, it only began. When was the finalization of Matan Torah? Purim. When the Jews were on a very low level. How could that? Doesn't make sense. So Chassidus explains that what's unique about Purim? Because they were tortured. Causes. Because the Jews were tortured and they had self-sacrifice, Mesiras Nefesh. Because of the Gzeit of Haman, because they were tortured, they had the Mesiras Nefesh of the Jews. That Mesiras Nefesh put them in a higher level than the Jews were at Matan Torah. Why? Why? And let me finish the point. So Chassidus explains why. Because you know where Mesiras Nefesh comes from? From the Pinta Liyid, from the Nukudata Yadut, from the essence of the Jew. When push comes to shove, where does Mesiras Nefesh come from? It comes from the essence of the Jew. So the Pasuk over here says like this. You want to be more. We have, remember we said, why does it say more and not or? Because the Torah says like this. Kosis, when the Jews are oppressed, kosis means pressed, tortured, right? How do you get oil out of a grape, out of an olive? You torture it, you press, like, wine out of a grape, you have to torture it. When the Jew is kosis, la ma'ar, then the essence of the soul becomes revealed. The source of the light, the nekudat ha-yahadut, the essence, the ma'ar, that becomes revealed. So the Torah over here is speaking about the kindling of the menorah, not only in the Mishkan. Let's take it on a personal level. The Torah is speaking about kindling the menorah of every single Jew that Aaron HaKohen did. But in the way of, he says, it is lahalis ner tamid. Because when you're kosis, if you look in the pasuk now, v'yikwe lecho shemen zayizach, take the pure oil. Kosis, when the Jew is tortured sometimes, it reveals the ma'ar, the essence of the Jew, and that causes a ner tamid. It's continuously lit. And then the Torah continues in the next pasuk, it has to be me'arev ha-beker. Because when you reveal the ma'ar, when you reveal the essence of the essence of the Jew never changes. Whether it's erev or beker, night, day, good times, bad times, golus, geula, it doesn't matter. The Jew is always, once they're oppressed, and they reach the level of ma'ar, and they reveal the ner tamid, the essence of the Jew, which is continuously there, then it reveals itself, me'erev ha-beker, you kindle the menorah, whether it's at night or in the morning, it doesn't matter. Who reveals this power in the Jew? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader. He was Rosh B'nai Yisrael, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, his essence was always revealed, and therefore, when they had a connection to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Jew had their essence connected to Moshe Rabbeinu's essence, Moshe Rabbeinu revealed the essence in every single Jew. So therefore it says like this. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yikhu eilech Hashem in Zayizach. The oil has to come to Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning the Jews need to have this connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. What happens when the Jews are connected to Moshe Rabbeinu? Through the oppression and the difficulties, like it was in the days of Mordechai, who was the Gemara says was Moshe Rabbeinu of his generation, the Gemara says, it becomes kosis through the suffering and torture of the Jew. It becomes ma'ar. You reveal the source of the neshama, and then it becomes the atomic. But even though Aaron actually lit the menorah, but in order for Aaron to light the menorah of every Jew had to be v'yikhu elecha, they had to be connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then that was able to kindle the menorah of every single Jew. So the Torah is not only speaking about the physical lighting of the menorah. And then you answer, okay, ner tamid is out of a break, it's, you know, it's continuous, whatever. But in the deeper sense, and in fact, that's why it says, tzav is b'nei Yisrael, or as we read in Shabbos' Kriya, v'ata tzav is b'nei Yisrael. You should command the people. Yeah? And it says again, in grammar, it's also incorrect. Titzava means, what does titzava mean in Hebrew? You should command. Right? Titzava means you should command. What does the ata titzava mean? You should command. What is, in Hebrew, titzava is b'nei Yisrael, means you should command the Jews. Here it says, tzava is b'nei Yisrael, right? But in v'ata titzava it says, v'ata, you, Tetzaves b'nei Yisrael should command. You should command the Jews. That's literally what the pasuk means. So the truth is, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Va'ata, Hashem says, you Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you do? Or here it is, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael. The Zayir says that the word Tzav means to command, but the word mitzvah, which is Tzav, yeah, the Zayir says, comes from the word in Aramaic, Tzafsa v'chibur, means binding and connection. It says in the Zayir, what is the definition of a mitzvah? So simply in English it means a commandment. But the Zayir says a mitzvah is much deeper than just a commandment. Tzav, mitzvah, is binding the Jew with Hashem. That's what the word mitzvah means. When a Jew does a mitzvah, it binds him and connects him to Hashem. So what does it mean? Tzav is b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu over here, or to Atta to Tzav, it doesn't matter. Tzav is b'nei Yisrael does not only mean command the Jews. It says you bind the Jews to Hashem. How do you bind the Jews to Hashem? By them bringing you the oil. And Aaron kindles the menorah of every single Jew. That is revealing the ner tamid, the ner Hashem nishmas Adam, the neshama of the Jew, to be constantly bound with Hashem. So that's what the actual concept over here of kindling the menorah is. It's interesting because the Mefarshim ask, like the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, Ma inyan mitzvah shemen b'mokim zeh? It's like, how does this thing get over here? We're talking about the Chagim. All of a sudden he talks about the Menorah. So he says a very interesting thing. He also says about the next parsha about the Shulchan. We're not there yet though. He says like this, what's the connection? Pesach is 7 days. Sukkot is 7 days. Even, he says, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is b'chodesh hashvi, in the 7th month, all 7. How many candles on the menorah? 7. He says the connection over here is the number 7. That's what he says. That's why he's speaking here about the mitzvah menorah, which is 7 mitzvahs. And then he says the shulchan is also the number 7.
What's the symbol of 7?
7 represents 7 days of the week. Nature.
Okay. I mean, but the Jews were in a very high level.
The Jews were on a very high level, but their essence was not revealed. I'll give you an example. You can have a very great tzaddik. Yeah? And then you can have a simple Jew that dies al kiddush Hashem. Okay? He doesn't have great revelations like the tzaddik has. He doesn't have an understanding of God, the fear of God, the love of God. He doesn't have all that. Okay? Which the tzaddik does. But this Jew, his essence was revealed through Kiddush Hashem. He's a higher level than the tzaddik.
So if
Mesiras Nefesh of the Jew brings out a deeper level of relationship with God than love and fear and understanding of God. Because when you understand God, it's still limited. As much as you're able to understand. You love God, fear God, the greatest tzaddik is still limited. Mesiras Nefesh, which reveals the essence of the Jew like it was by Purim, that gets a Jew to a higher level than the tzaddikim.
So you can do berachot to people?
What?
Can do berachot to people at this level?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they tell a story, it's a very interesting thing. After World War II, I think it was one of the great tzaddikim in Europe, when people were going to America, you know, after the war, and the tzaddikim were still in Europe. So a person went into his rabbi, I don't remember who it was, a very great rabbi it was. And he said to him, Rabbi, we're going to America, who are we going to get a bracha from? All the tzaddikim are in Europe. They didn't have cell phones and emails and, you know. He said, who are we going to get a bracha from? That's what the tzaddik said to him. He said to him, when you go to America, and you walk into a shul, and you'll see a Jew putting on tefillin in the morning, and you'll see that on his hand they'll have a number. You know, the Nazis used to write numbers on their hands, yeah? The tzaddik said to him, when you go into a shul, and you'll see a Jew that has a number on his hand, and he puts on tefillin, that Jew can give you a bracha. Because to live what he went through, and he's still davening, he said, that Jew is a tzaddik, he can give you a bracha. It's a very interesting thing. There's no, this was a great tzaddik that told this person this. A Jew is still davening after what they went with the number in the concentration camp, and they're still going to shul to daven, they can give you a bracha. So these people, in many respects, they can give a bracha. They're on a very high level. That was the greatness of Purim over Matan Torah and Shavuos. The Mesirat Nefesh brings out a deeper level of relationship from the essence of the person to the essence of Hashem, which is much greater than intellectual relationship, emotional relationship. That's all mugbal, that's all limited. This is essence to essence. This is above seichel, above everything. And that's what the whole concept of kindling the menorah is. The kindling the menorah of the Jew is lahalis ner tamid, to reveal this constant ner tamid, the pintali that's always there, but lahalis ner tamid, to reveal it and to light it, that it should work openly in the person's body. That's a much greater level than matan Torah. Mesiras Nefesh of the Jews, Purim, was a much greater level. And that's why they accepted the Torah willingly. They finalized Matan Torah that Har Sinai couldn't do. This is what the pasuk means. It says Lali, but it has to go through Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that actually connects the Jew to Hashem. And then it's Kosis Lamar. When you're oppressed, you reveal the Mar. And it says in pasuk Gimel, Michutz Pareichas Oedus. I'll say the Pareichas of the Oedus. Because like Rashi says, the Oren was the Eidus, and this is outside of it. Yarech Eisei Oren. No, I didn't finish the point. Now we can understand why the halach is like this. And no, this halach also doesn't make sense. We said like this, the preparing the oil and the wick, only a Kohen had to do that. To light it, even a Yisrael could do. It should be the opposite. Yeah. They lighting the menorah, which is the mitzvah, that needs a kohen. Getting it ready, I mean, anybody can get it ready. Yeah? This, the Rebbe explains just the opposite. And the Rebbe says like this. When it comes to influence another Jew, you know, to kindle the menorah of another Jew. So everybody will say, me! No, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not paid to do it, I'm a simple Jew. Who am I to kindle the menorah of another Jew? Who am I? So Halacha says, no. Every Jew, you don't have to be a Kohen, I mean, you don't have to be a holy guy. You're a Jew, you could kindle the menorah of another Jew. So a person will come and say, okay, I will kindle the menorah of the Jew, but I'll do it my way. You know, the way I want. So the Torah says, no. The preparation, the meaning, the path of how to do it, that only a Kohen can set. You can't establish your own way of being Makarev, another Jew, to Yiddishkeit. The Kohenim have to set the way, this is the way you do it. But once you follow their footsteps, how to do it, every Jew could do it. For instance, and this is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the first paddock. The famous Mishnah, Hillel says, Havemi Talmid of Shal Aaron. You should be a disciple of Aaron. Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, running peace, loving peace. Ohev Esabriyos, you should love everything God created. And then he concludes with two words. Umikarvon la Torah. Bring them close to the Torah. You know what he's saying? Obviously, he's saying a very profound statement. Many people say and think, till today, if I want to bring somebody closer to Torah, I have to bring the Torah to them. I mean, I need to compromise. I need to lower the Torah to them to be able to turn them on to Yiddishkeit. Right? Many people have such a path. The Torah says, no, that's not what the Mishnah says. Hillel says, Mikarvon la Torah. You don't compromise Torah to them. You bring them to the Torah. And Torah stays the way Torah is, no changing, no compromises, and you bring them to the Torah. You don't, God forbid, compromise the Torah. Okay? So you can have a Jew that thinks, no, I want to bring a Jew closer to Yiddishkeit. I can't give him authentic, real Torah because he's not going to do it. So let me take down the mechitza, let me take down this, let me compromise this, let me compromise this, and then I'll be able to be light as neshama. The Torah says no. The preparation and the path of how to do it, only a Kohen could do that. Once you follow their path, then you have to go kindle the menorah of another Jew. But how to do it, that you need to have the way Torah says to do it. The Kohen, Torah says to do it. Like we said, Mekarvon la Torah, not Torah to them. But that's why. So the halacha is, anybody could kindle the menorah of another Jew. Like it says, a guy could come along and say, listen, I don't know Yiddishkeit myself, right? I don't know, I'm ignorant. How could I go teach another person Torah, right? So there's an interesting halacha. In the laws of tzedakah, a poor person who receives tzedakah still has an obligation to give tzedakah to somebody who is poorer than them. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You might get tzedakah yourself, you're poor, but if there's somebody poorer than you, you have to give him tzedakah. Maybe you only know Aleph. You only know Aleph. You're very poor. All you know of Yiddishkeit is the letter Aleph. Yeah? But if there's a Jew that doesn't even know Aleph, you have to teach him Aleph. You can't come along and say, who am I to teach him? I know nothing. Bottom line is, you know more than them, even though you only know Aleph. You don't even know Beis. You only know Aleph. That guy doesn't know Aleph. That woman doesn't know Aleph. You have an obligation to teach them Aleph. So Adlaka Ksheira Bezal, you don't have to be a scholar to light the menorah. But how to do it, the path, that you need only a Kohen to establish it.